All right, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Untitled Esports Show. I am the number zero esports, the world's number zero esports consultant, Gutex, and I am joined, as always, by my favorite esports veterans, consultants, marketers, former journalists, and all of these sort of arbitrary qualifications. Zorin and Slasher, how are you guys doing this week?
Hi.
You know, I would have. I was hoping the intros were going to get better, but
Is that
this
one
one,
worse?
I kind of,
How is that
I
worse?
like that as soon as you said former journalist, Rod just like shook his head.
Just,
As
I
if
was.
like he was like, I don't know, disappointed, ashamed. I don't even know what
You know what?
emotion.
I still in the game. I still have skin in the game. Zareen does content or something sometimes. I mean, she's kind of sold her soul to the devil. I gotta say, like full
Can
time.
confirm. Thank
But I have not done that. So one, totally disrespected. But two, yeah, I'm looking for some more pep. Some more pep, Ryan. Pep in your step. For these intros. So you know what?
All right. One
But
more time. One
I
more
think it
time.
was a solid 6 out of 10, giving you like a 6.1 out of 10.
Do you want to open the show, Rod?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Untitled Esports Show number 15 with Mr. PogChamp himself. As I explained in earlier episodes, you know, when you're getting right there and you're
Wow,
just
I'll
about to
just
go,
stop you
you think
right
of PogChamp, and that got proven this
there.
weekend, as you two can attest. And Zorin,
Thank you. It's an honor
second
to be
week in a
here.
row.
Damn, that must be like a new record or something, right? Don't get too excited though. Maybe we can go for a hat trick next week.
It is, you know, that's longer than how usually I'm here for. So,
You mentioning that what happened over the weekend should be something that we should add to our topic list. Is it, or is that not worth talking about?
now I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
you
Basically,
lost me.
wasn't there porn on Twitch over the weekend?
There we go. I feel like
Oh,
that was the Twitch
yes,
blow
there
up of the week. We
was.
have two Twitch blow ups of the
We
week.
do. Yes, thank you, Zareen. That is definitely a topic we should be talking about on this show. I feel like that is our core audience. Out of all the topics we're talking about, I'm pretty sure that people, especially, you know, the guest star in that episode that was shown on Twitch,
I
you know,
didn't
is
catch it at all.
very core to the gaming internet community. So, you know, I feel like that's truly where our audience is, especially on cross-counter TV. You know,
Yeah, I
with
mean.
the endemic audience of cross-counter TV, no, you know, Ryan, I gotta say, there's no other audience I would think in the world that would like our porn to be talked about on the show than your cross-counter TV audience. That's
Ryan, I
great.
agree.
Fucking
I pride.
PogChamp's in the fucking chat. That's a good thing, chat. That's a
Okay.
good fucking thing. Like, I am all about that shit.
I pride
All about it.
myself on having cultivated an audience full of smart, open-minded people. Okay. So if you think something as tame as porn is something that me or my audience would shy away from, you are sorely mistaken, my friend.
Very good. What a way to start the show.
Oh yes. Well, we got a great show. Lots
See?
happened. Yeah, thanks. All right. Yeah, that was great.
At least an 8 out of 10.
Oh my God.
He
Dude,
needs the
never.
validation, Gutex. Just
Oh
give it to
my
him and we can
God.
move on.
Oh, I mean, you know what? You're right. It was great. It was great.
Thank you.
Actually, before we get started, quick shameless plug. Finally, the Untitled Esports Show has a bunch of episodes available now on iTunes and Spotify. So you can go to either search those directly or just go to anchor.fm/untitledesportsshow. That reminds me, I probably should have set a Nightbot timer to just plug that over and over while we're live. But I don't know. I'll put that in the chat right now.
It's all right, 1% each time.
Yeah, I mean, at least we have this. So that's a step in the right direction. All right, so let's get into it. So in the ongoing saga of Rick Fox versus alleged racial Venture Vision Partners and some new emails that surfaced. And Richard Lewis over at Dexerto is reporting that he has received some emails from that were leaked to him, you know, that sort of allegedly have some of the things that, what's this guy's name? Amit Raizada had said to Rick Fox, as well as about Jace Hall. So one of the things, and I guess, you know, the other thing was that his lawyer's been saying that, oh, he didn't make any sort of comments and didn't threaten Rick Fox's family. But according to this report, it says, quote, no deal on anything. And if Rick does not do his duties, I'll personally fuck him and his family for the rest of my life in any way possible. And then he included a bunch of emojis afterwards to really drive home the point. Just kidding. I don't think the emojis were part of it. But if there were, they would have been very, very angry. Angry, racially, allegedly racially motivated emojis. So the plot thickens in our ongoing coverage of this blow up.
Now, maybe you are overlooking the two direct quotes too. One, he basically confirms that there are multiple instances of him being called a sand N-word. Also, side meta context. If Mike Ross was on the show, could he say this quote out loud directly? And would it be fine for the show? Just want chat to think about that for the rest of the show. We'll come back to it at the end. So he gets called a sand N-word and basically says that is true. And then not only does he say he's going to fuck him in his life any way possible, he sends a second conversation, according to Upcomer, which is with another investor, what's his name, David Vitter, and he calls him a dumb Jew and says, when I'm done, you will wish you were in a camp burning. And the texts get kind of crazier. Wait,
this isn't in the same article? Okay.
No, in a second article, confirmed by Upcomer, like they had a second report. He Amit Raizada also sent these things, and I'll link to it in our Skype right now. And he basically becomes also anti-Semitic on top of being generally racist.
So, for those who don't know who Amit Raizada is, just looking at some quick info about him, he is a big investor in multiple companies, so including Echo Fox, obviously, but he also has invested in Card Compliant, Select Quote, Store Financial Services, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon. He basically went for the three big telco companies there, HT Films, and others. So, it's interesting that Echo Fox is like the only esports related company in that list that he has invested in. And he probably is very well connected and has a lot of assets to his name. Oh, and he came from real estate. That explains a lot.
What does that explain?
The money he made.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about all the fine people that you meet from real estate. Because, you know, real estate agents have a really good reputation as people. I know whenever I talk to people about, like, them getting a new apartment in here in New York City or somewhere like L.A. or San Francisco, they always talk about how, like, real estate agents really are, like, one of their best friends. And then they end up hanging out and being cool after they get the apartment because it was such a good experience. I thought that's what we were talking about, but no, you're talking about like how much money they're making. Okay. I just want to be totally clear on why you're talking about.
Yes. Glad you clarified that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, after all of these allegations have come to light, Looks like Rick Fox is also saying that he'll, you know, he can't be in business with this dude, but if this guy leaves, then maybe he'll stick around. So,
I mean, what can you do at this point? You have a guy who is like an investor. He obviously is very powerful, and has said all these things. Like, besides the media kind of like chewing him out, what can happen? Like, I have no idea. Like, you know, he doesn't answer to anybody.
I think it would have to be something like, let's say, the board of directors of Vision Venture Partners, let's say, voting to have him removed if he was, you know, some sort of, if he had like some sort of significant stake, which he must in order for it to be this big of a deal.
Mm.
But I guess then they would have to weigh, or I mean, they're probably weighing it right now. Like, should we try to remove this dude and save Rick Fox and or Jace Hall? I don't know if Jace Hall said he was going to leave also, but, you know, Rick Fox has said that he's out. Or do they want to keep him on board? I mean, this guy probably brought a lot of money to the table, right? Mm-hmm. So that's probably why they have to weigh whether or not they want to keep, let's say, the faces, Rick Fox and Jace Hall versus the back end money, which is this dude.
I mean, look, obviously we've seen Amit Rezada is a racist, anti-Semitic asshole, and he should not be within the industry and the community with the way that he is acting. And I think he has shown that, you know, through all of the reporting that has gone on thus far. Now, having said that, all of this is not existing like within a vacuum. A lot of this is happening because of everything else that's happening in Echo Fox, which is causing the friction and the problems to begin with, which has then led to this investor being such a piece of shit, you know, and showing his true self and how much of a how much of an asshole he is. So you have, you know, for example, the entire controversy with Jace Hall running the H1Z1 Pro League in Vegas, which fell apart and owed hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money to players. And then also working for Daybreak, who ran H1Z1, and the company is now done and the game is dead. After a whole bunch of shit happened, and Jace Hall was specifically implicated in and a big part of kind of the scam of the H1Z1 Pro League.
And wait, on top but what of that, was what was Echo Fox's involvement in
well,
the thing though?
None, but because Jace Hall has been so close, Jace Hall has been so close to Rick Fox in the entire development of Echo Fox. I think really Rick Fox got suckered in by Jace Hall, and Jace
Hall into Echo Fox.
I am not a huge fan of Jace Hall. I do not think he is a trustworthy figure. I do not think he is someone that he should have gone into business with. And Rick Fox trusted Jace Hall so much that throughout this entire process and gave him so much power and money to do things. And that is partly why I believe, you know, Echo Fox is in such a shit position as they are now. So, yeah, so because Jace Hall is friends with Rick Fox and he, you know, he's all throughout this specific controversy for that reason. A lot of that is all tied in to what's happening.
So Vision Venture Partners also owns like a bunch of other things in esports as well, including Twin Galaxies, the website,
which is Jace Hall.
Right. Okay. So it's all like, there's a lot of like components to the whole thing, not just Echo Fox itself, but also, you know, the H1Z1 League and then Twin Galaxies and
Twin Galaxies ran the H1Z1 League. Twin Galaxy Jace Hall has been doing this whole time. You know, the investment was to make all of these things go well. They kind of have been all working together. It really feels like on the outside everything has been failing. It doesn't feel like Echo Fox has been the brand has been really good, but it's really just because of Rick and some good choices here and there. And of course, you know, all these brands are they're long-term plays. No one's expecting to make a ton of money, but it doesn't feel like Echo Fox has been run really that well. And it has been, they have been spending way more money than they should have been. So, look, conspiracy theory for you two. Could they be in such dire financial strait and other complicated issues with Jace Hall that were unrelated to Rick, you know, with all everything that Jace has been dealing with, and then Jace asked Rick to help him out. And then they had orchestrated something real that was happening with this guy being a piece of shit, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna fucking use all the logs that we have of our conversations in these heated moments and fucking own this motherfucker and get the entire public on our side and overlook all the fuck-ups that have been going on in the org and why it could be crumbling and or, you know, dying soon. And then that'll allow Rick to leave the organization, and that'll be why it died, and he gets off scot-free and doesn't get any critique or backlash or anything.
So I've heard this conspiracy theory before as well from somebody else, and it's an interesting one that's kind of been going around, that basically Rick Fox orchestrated this whole thing to give him, it's an exit strategy, right? Like, basically, that would be crazy. I don't think it's necessarily the case. But, I mean, things could be so dire that really they're kind of, like, forced into a corner, right? I know on the FGC side, you know, things looked pretty bad when they let go of a whole bunch of their players, including world championship caliber players. And I know for a fact that before some of those players parted ways with the org, that they were actually in the midst of renegotiating their contracts for like 6 to 7 months, and were just representing Echo Fox on a contract that had not actually been signed. So there were a lot of things happening in that organization before like any of that stuff came to public, even like now.
Seems a little far-fetched to me. I mean, basically what you're saying is that
you
things
like
were
this shit though, Ryan. You like conspiracy theory type of things. How are
and
you
that's
not on board
how
with this? How are you not on board?
And that's how far-fetched I think it is.
Oh man.
Wow,
even I am kind of in on this one, and I am really? Like the anti-skeptic person on the show. Ryan, you're like the astrology dude that I would go to. If I want to know about like my astrological sign or like what's going to happen tomorrow, I'd be going to you of the three people talking on the show.
So what you're saying is that what? They are run out of money?
Yeah.
Who are their sponsors? I mean, they're taking investors. They have investors.
I'm not talking about like sponsors. I'm talking about like running out of money from a cap, you know, from an investment capital perspective.
From Vision. Oh. Twin Galaxy having okay. spent so much and on the H1Z1 mm-hmm. thing and the Pro League and Echo Fox and the spot for League of Legends.
Oh yeah, well, franchising.
Yeah, franchising. That costs them, you know.
And so what you're saying is they sort of concocted this big plan to do you
real.
Think that
the things that happened are real, but they probably weren't gonna do shit. They were probably just like, you know, fucking this guy was a total piece of shit racist, but like one-on-one in texting, fine, whatever, fuck that guy, I'll never work with him again, I'll make sure like he doesn't work in this business. But then they're like, okay, no, let's push this way further. We know how current day internet will fucking destroy this dude's entire life for honestly, he is an asshole and he is racist for saying these things, obviously, but I don't think they would have released it, you know. I'm just saying they could totally have released it, and now there's all this public pressure on Amit Rezada. The entire public is talking about that. That's the story, not about Echo Fox having problems.
Okay, very timely release too.
And so what, they get him to what, back out?
Maybe enough public pressure, like it's so much bad press is put on Rezada, which there has been honestly that he feel he gets, you know, tilted mentally, or he is like put on like the back foot in negotiating.
Mm. Right. Okay. So you do. So you think that they're going to.
You know why? You know why I want to believe this? Because it has worked if they did it. Because I've been talking about how much of a piece of shit Amit Rosati is, and I never talk about how Echo Fox had problems before. Everyone is talking about sure. how much of a piece of shit Amit Rosati is. No one ever mentions anything about.
So you think that they're trying to push him out and then stick around and then find new investors and then keep going?
Well, this is a great way. This is a lot of press. This is a lot of people rallying around Rick Fox because he is great, and we want Rick Fox to stay in esports. We really, really do. I think he's been a great ambassador, as we talked about last week on the show. I think that's definitely true. So I'm actually all for this, by the way. I think throwing Amit Rosati to the wolves so that Echo Fox can move on is a 100% fair trade. And thing that should have been done for the good of the realm. So I am totally fine with killing off Amit.
Okay, so how will we determine whether or not this is true? So one way, right, is if Rick Fox and Jace Hall end up leaving Echo Fox completely, then the story, you know, then the theory is bunk, right?
Well, not necessarily. It could also mean that they weren't, the public pressure was not enough. And that they gave up and decided just to leave on their own terms. We'll never know unless we talk to them.
Because also leaving Echo Fox and having Echo Fox die, but then everyone think it's about Amit Rosati is still better. Because then everyone forgets about all the stupid, shady shit that Jace Hall did. And no one asked any questions to Rick Fox about his role and everything. So, and not only, even if it's not perfect, it's still a good enough deflection at a worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm. To essentially start over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they wanted to.
It's right though. Like we're not here talking about Echo Fox's problems. We're here talking about Amit Rosati being an asshole.
I mean, Echo Fox still is in LCS right now. And that is they had to pay $13 million for that spot. That's probably where a significant chunk of the money went.
Supposedly last Q1 of last year was when they got that $42 million invested in Vision Venture Partners.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have the 13 just for the buy-in price, and then you have all the salaries of very high profile League of Legends players. You're talking already up to like, you know, 15-16 million itself plus everything else they're doing. You're already up to 20, 25 million. And that was just then. So we don't know the full story. I will add into all of this is that I had been told by several sources months ago that Echo Fox was looking to sell before I had heard anything about any of these issues with Amit Rosati. Before I knew who Amit Rosati was, I had had several people tell me that there were severe financial problems within Echo Fox and that they were looking to sell the org.
So, you know, what's funny, Rod, I didn't know that you were told these things because I was told similar things, and we should cross-check our sources on where we're being told these things. But yes, Echo Fox, allegedly, based on the things I've heard a few months ago, were looking to be sold. So, or was looking to be sold. Mm.
All right, well, I guess
by the way, Zareen, you should know as journalists, you will never know my sources. I love you. I love you and all.
I'm not going to comment on that.
All right, well, stay tuned next week for the next chapter in this ongoing esports saga.
Aren't you buddies with Jace Hall? Let's get him to come on the show and talk about it.
Yeah, I do text. I mean,
you were in his music video.
Yeah, from what I understand, and Lewis, you're there. I want you to cue up this video for us. From what I understand,
oh my god,
do text. Is that you did a legendary, high-profile Street Fighter music video with Jace Hall, and you are featured directly in the video, front and center for everyone to see. Which Lewis is going to help find us to show everyone front and center where you are in the video. But not only do can we see this, but
wow, I love how I love how fast you found that, Lewis. Holy
Lewis
smokes.
Is a magician.
Wow. Okay, first off, I was just trying to make Zoreen feel better, okay? Oh, I'm sure, you know, after her music video debut last week,
Which was fucking great, wasn't it? Really good?
I mean,
wasn't it really good?
It was good until you take a trip down this particular memory lane. And you see what a legendary music video debut actually looks like.
Yeah, you're right.
Look at this.
Young man Gutex.
You can see a half a side of young man Gutex.
He's
already at least third or fourth of the eight or nine people here. I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh my god.
Gutex and we have future Gutex. This is amazing. It all comes together.
And by the way, that's not the best screen cap because there is a perfect screen cap. Really the highlight of the video. for Ryan's appearance, Lewis. It's when he's in the ring. You know, they're the ring girls.
Look at
no, see, I, but the reason we're actually talking about this thing is actually Jace Hall. So you can explain the video, but I really want to know. Give us the insight. Are you in on all of this? Are you saying this is? Oh my god, I just realized it. Oh my fucking god, you this whole time have been saying it's not a conspiracy because you're fucking friends with Jace Hall. Oh my god. Oh my fucking god. Okay. Can we have weird champs in the chat, please? We need weird champ spam in the chat. Ryan, how could you?
Damn.
I thought we were boys. PogChamp, Gutex. I thought we were boys. And this whole time, you were fucking dancing with those girls, with Jace Hall in the ring, fucking Dalzim, and Viper, and you sided with Jace? Over me and Zoreen too, by the way.
Yeah, who, by the way, we've known each other for like 5 years now.
That's fucked up. And look at Ryan. I mean, fake's not important. Really, really isn't. We don't actually need to see him. Just where his hands are.
Well, I mean, it's not.
I'm gonna turn this into a GIF, by the way.
It's not only you that felt like I didn't need to be featured prominently in there. It was also whoever edited the video and or got the final approval on this. Yeah.
Who was that, Ryan?
Couldn't tell you. But
yeah, no, you actually did tell me. You did tell me off the show. So I do know that you know that, by the way.
You know what, Rod? I think that lots of people in this world have been a part of videos when they were younger that they wish that later on they could somehow take back from the internet. Okay.
I mean, oh man! Oh, we found it.
This is not one of them, by the way. This is not fucking one of them. I mean, this is really what I think of like the pinnacle of your career. You know, I'm gonna come back to this. Is
wow, it's
definitely
like
this was okay. First off, this was 2010. Okay, like it was a different time. I got contacted to be a part of this thing. I helped secure talent. It was a long shoot. Obviously, everybody is free to make their own judgments about the content itself. I was
was young and dumb. You made some mistakes. It's okay.
I was young and dumb. And let this be a lesson to us all. See, I mean, maybe if we had talked about this like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, we could have saved Zoreen from you know, her music video debut. But yeah,
what's done is done. All right,
what's done is done. The internet, the internet will remember forever. You know, it's yeah, it's I mean, it's great.
All I'll remember is that you're a Jace Hall shill, and you're an Echo Fox apologizer.
Yeah, you know what? Like they've, you know, so, right. you got me, guys.
They pushed out a meat risotto,
and they, you know, they pushed me in, and I've been tasked with cleaning up Vision Venture Partners and Echo Fox and Twin Galaxies, so that you know the world can experience more Jace Hall music videos, Street Fighter music videos.
Specific. All right.
And Shady Ventures.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Don't forget that. So yeah. Thanks, Ryan. Make sure you keep us updated.
Oh, I will.
You know, because you have like the inside scoop and all. So, you know, you could definitely tell us.
I got a direct line. Bro.
Yeah, and like it's not like you were a journalist or anything, so you don't care about revealing your sources to us either.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I might even still have Jace Hall on the on my Skype directory, you know.
I mean, when he had to do like that emergency live stream to respond to that article that I think Kevin had put out on VP Esports, I mean, I knew I saw you in the background a few times. Like,
I tried to warn him, you know. I'm like,
you know, like recognizable. It seems like whenever I go to Twitch, your face is just everywhere. Like, your face is imprinted whenever I'm on the Twitch platform, that I kind of see you at all times.
I'm just always with you, Rod.
I kind of you're with all of us. Like, you're really everyone here watching the show right now, especially in Twitch chat. You're always with us.
People don't know.
Your face is always with me. No matter what.
Within that 16x16 emote is actually a secret Twitch tracking pixel. It tracks you across all of your activity. Yeah.
Spreads like a pulse. I need Bitcoin on my computer right now.
Shall we move on to the next
face
topic?
Mining Bitcoin? That would be fucked if PogChamp was mining Bitcoin. I could see Twitch doing that, though. It'd be fucking sick idea.
All right, let's see. Moving on. What do we got? Do we have Mortal Kombat brought up? Okay, let's do that.
Let's
talk about Immortals.
Yeah.
I'm looking, and that's already pulled up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a world where Optic Gaming doesn't exist? That's crazy.
This is, you know, really the major possibility in this whole thing. So for those of you who don't know, last week, or it was or maybe 2 weeks ago, it was reported by ESPN's Jacob Wolf that the Immortals Gaming Club, which is now an overhead adventure that includes Immortals, the Los Angeles Valiant, MIBR, which is made in Brazil, and then one more Brazilian-based organization, will be trying to acquire and buy out the Infinite Entertainment, which is the ownership of the new ownership group of the Optic and the Houston Outlaws. And then there was a new report today from
the Esports Insider.
That the deal is close to getting done, though the number is not specific. Though I have heard, and other people, I mean, I've heard myself, that, you know, there's tension and friction in the number. Infinite Entertainment wants a pretty high number, up into the like $150 million range for all of the brands, considering how much investment and everything that they've put into it so far. But it seems like this is something that's going to try to get done, and the ramifications of that, more than anything, is what happens to Optic as the brand, and especially the Call of Duty team, with Call of Duty franchising looming, with Activision Blizzard, which is the thing that is making like this happen right now. Maybe Immortals and the new money that, because Immortals just got more money themselves. Immortals just raised, I think, like $40 million. Maybe a week ago.
$30 million Series B.
So they're using, you know, part of that for this. And maybe this doesn't all happen if Call of Duty isn't coming right now, because now here's an opportunity for Immortals to scoop in, do, I don't even know what the fuck they're supposed to do with two Overwatch League teams, and or try to get Call of Duty and own that space now. So, you know, all of this is happening. It seems like a good, smart move for Immortals, but the larger question is, what happens to OpTic? And, you know, what's going to happen to the ecosystem? And I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I want to hear what you two.
So, you know, given Immortals' past moves before, where they acquired teams that already have their own established names and branding, such as MIBR and the other Brazilian team whose name I forget now, and they kind of let them keep that. So I think what's likely to happen is that Immortals, if they do go ahead and acquire Infinite Esports and Entertainment, who is the parent company of OpTic Gaming and Houston Outlaws, and also owns, I believe, or has a relationship with the Esports Stadium Arlington, which is in Arlington, Texas, will allow OpTic to retain their branding and their name and their voice, as it were, because I think touching that could be very detrimental to the team, and they probably, you know, would agree. So, and we've seen that they've done stuff like that in the past, with MIBR being one of the most prominent examples. The biggest thing, I think, which is interesting, is that they will essentially have two Overwatch League teams. So, again, what is the rule around that? Will Activision Blizzard even allow a single entity to hold two spots in the franchise league? I feel like the obvious answer is no, but maybe things could get more complicated.
The answer is no, and that they will have to create a new holding company if they are going to acquire the Outlaws for having two spots. And then there is still not a decision made in the end of what will happen after. So no, they can't, but it's still not finalized on what will happen and if they will take on the Outlaws.
I mean, it seems like setting up a new entity to circumvent that rule isn't that hard. And I mean, I feel like this is one of the parts that's really hard to control at this point for the Overwatch leagues and LCSs of the world. Because, you know, once you start setting up different holding companies, I mean, I feel like, you know, these companies or these leagues would have to do like some super sleuthing in order to find out exactly where the money is coming from, as well as like, oh, like this money is coming, you know, this portion of the money is coming from here. Do we want to allow that, etc.? But I think the real question is, I guess, what will happen to OpTic? I mean, I don't really see why they wouldn't just be able to keep them around. Like, what sort of prevents them from keeping OpTic around, if for no other reason than for the Call of Duty League?
I can't think of any particular reason.
What was that?
No, like, why would they not just keep OpTic Gaming if for no other reason than the Call of Duty League?
Well, there's a few things. One, they are, from what I understand, still forcing all the organizations to make new brands again.
Oh.
So they're not even going to be allowed to use phase.
Is that new? Because remember when we talked about this like 2 weeks ago?
I thought,
like,
we talked about it last week.
Yeah, no. Remember we were talking about how phase, OpTic, and 100 Thieves.
Yeah.
About how Call of Duty League would be nothing without these teams, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk at all about the teams needing to rebrand.
Oh, well, I had new information that most likely case that they're going to have to be new brands again. So if that is the case, which I think is so fucking dumb, it makes absolutely no sense to me. But if that is the case, then OpTic brand isn't as necessary if you're Immortals, because you can't use OpTic anyway. It's a little bit more leeway for Immortals to be like,
Oh my god.
because they had no choice in the matter. Even if they were able to use Optic, they would have to make a new name, and that's like half the point. I can't fucking actually believe that Activision Blizzard wants everyone to change the goddamn name. I mean,
it works so well for Overwatch.
It really does work so well for Overwatch, but like Overwatch as a game is a new game, and all the like endemic esports teams that joined Overwatch came from like other esports games. Call of Duty has three of the biggest organizations in the world that come from Call of Duty. Let them keep their fucking names, you stupid assholes.
Well, keep their names, then that's one element of this league that we cannot control. And I will not stand for not controlling every single minute detail, because we created this game, we created this league. None of these people, teams, players, coaches, none of these people would be anything were it not for us at Activision Blizzard or Activision, whatever, making Call of Duty, okay? So they owe everything to us. They should be grateful that we even let them play, given their previous history as unsanctioned team owners, players, whatever. We did not approve of these team names, and so, you know, yeah, we have to control the whole thing. Because what would happen if we didn't? Oh my god. The league would fall apart, the world would end.
Damn, man, you sound pretty evil, man. Can we not do all that shit?
No, we have to.
The Jace Halls.
Everybody must play.
No wonder you're fucking boys with Jace Hall. Yeah, Zarina's right.
Birds of a feather flock together. What can I say?
I mean, going back to kind of the baseline of this news, I'm very curious what attracted Immortals to this deal in the first place, right? Like, why for... I guess maybe they want to get back into the league. This is kind of like a two birds, one stone thing. You know, we secure a Call of Duty team and we re-secure a spot in League of Legends, because as anyone who knows the history of Immortals as an esports organization knows that they got their big start in League of Legends before they were rejected from the franchising process when it began and they had to exit the league. So, but that's the only thing I can think of. Like, why would you raise all that money and spend so much money to acquire, like, I don't know, another team? That's strange to me. Why not just bid for the spot?
Yeah, but Infinite Entertainment is having financial problems. Optic itself went through a crisis internally with the management of Infinite Entertainment. They had to fire a bunch of employees. They've mismanaged Optic and the brand for the last 2 years. It's in a weak position, for buying.
So you're saying Immortals is being opportunistic about this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if there was any time to try to scoop up one of the most, you know, impactful, I believe, brands in all of gaming, and especially like the blend between esports, streamer, YouTuber, content creator, you know, all of them mixed together, Optic is way up there. So I feel like if you're Immortals, definitely... I mean, I think it's still way more iconic than Immortals.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Optic has probably one of the longest histories in esports, right? Like you mentioned, along teams like FaZe and 100 Thieves.
Well, you know what it is? It's because it's unique to Call of Duty, and it's special for Call of Duty, is that the Call of Duty teams, which are FaZe, Envy, Optic, and then kind of 100 Thieves. It's new, but it's Nate Shot doing his own thing. So I do count it in there. They all came from the YouTube community. That was why they're so much bigger and they grew so much larger than other endemic PC esports teams, is because they were content creators first. They were, a lot of them were trick shotters. So every single person on the team grew huge on YouTube. All of them grew individually, like 500,000, a million subscribers doing trick shotting and Call of Duty. And then they all formed like a clan together called the FaZe Clan. And then they grew into this enormous beast of teams. And then you had a bunch of, so you had FaZe Clan and Optic, which were the main two rivals of Trickshotting, and then also then became like a competitive team. And then there were other brands like Red Reserve and Soar. Mm-hmm. These are all Call of Duty Trickshotting teams that become huge on YouTube as content creators. And then that ended up being a good pivot to esports and competitive gaming because you could, you know, support all of that. And now with streaming and YouTube being bigger than ever, all of those skills are the reasons why those brands were so huge.
So what you're telling me is that it wasn't enough to just be the best. Part of why they have grown so much is because they focused on content. Huh.
You're really playing into the evil villain role today, aren't you?
I just wish I had spent some time making content over the years. Fuck. God damn it. What were you gonna say, Rob?
No, I wish you would have made some content over this time. You know, of all the pro players I think about, you know, I'm always just like, wish that Gutex dude.
Yeah, wish he'd made some content.
In all seriousness, it's interesting that you say that because a lot of the, at least I think, at least currently, up until, I don't know if it's still the case, but some of the higher ups at Optic actually were working at Machinima back in the day when they were, you know, which was one of the things that helped Machinima grow to what it was, you know, the content that they were able to feature on Machinima Respawn that was mostly like Call of Duty and other first-person shooter content. So it's like these guys were like literally in the heart of the beast. I mean, dudes like Ryan Musselman, you know, he was at Respawn, Machinima Respawn, like back in 2010, which is where when me and Mike sort of stumbled upon them. What a small world. Man.
You know, so, you know, for me, for this whole thing, I think it's a net negative for esports as a whole. Because,
which part?
It's good for Immortals. I believe, one, having Immortals and Optic brands separated is better because I think more competition is better in general rather than a monopolization, as we see with like NBC owning all of Hulu, Disney owning all of Hulu now on top of everything else they own in the fucking world. They own fucking Hulu. Just fucking kill ourselves. They're going to own the whole goddamn planet. Hit them and Amazon, Facebook, and Google on the whole.
And Tencent. Planet. Don't forget Tencent.
Yeah, them too. Yeah, those five are going to own the whole world. Anyway, so I'm always down for more competition. In that way,
but
yes.
Did
you just realize something?
Silsher is getting contacted by the deep state of esports right now.
Did you just get DM'd from someone at Immortals being like, Rod, shut them.
Like, no, it's just like, you know, it's not good. It's just unnecessary. It's generally unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's good for nobody else in the community except for Immortals investors.
What, to pick up Optic?
Yeah. So if there is anything negative that happens, like if Optic can't do Call of Duty and they can't use the brand or they get like pushed out of other games, it's just going to be really shitty for everybody. And Optic are going to look like the evil people. I mean, Immortals will look like evil people.
Were the saviors who were able to enable Optic Gaming to continue onwards.
Yeah, I mean, what if they make the purchase? Oh wait, can you? Your ginormous nose is sort of breathing heavily.
Raise your mic.
There we go. Thank you.
That was
a little bit closer.
Very anti-Semitic. I am very upset. I've I have clicked the report button several times now.
We're about to become the Twitch fan of the week.
Wait. I keep clicking your face. I keep clicking your face in chat, but it's not. I can't do anything.
First off, I didn't say.
I get confused. Like, your face is here on the chat. It's like in the background of my computer and like in my dreams and in my head at all times.
I didn't say your big Jewish nose. I just said your big nose. I think you inserted that. See? Yeah. There you go. All right. Anyways.
I mean, I can be self-conscious. I can identify that way. You can't take that away from me. And
God damn it. We really are going to get banned off Twitch eventually.
No, I'm telling you, I'm TOS proof. I don't think there's another person that's more TOS proof on this entire platform because I am not yet a partner. I can shit talk every other partner and every other streamer on this whole goddamn network. And Twitch won't do shit.
Okay. Anyways. moving on, unless you want to continue beating this poor dead horse.
I have plot armor. It can't be any worse than fucking Game of Thrones right now.
Nice. We're relevant, staying up with the pop culture memes.
Not me. All right. Moving on. No. So this weekend was Summit of Time, the Beyond the Summit, Mortal Kombat 11. Event, and there was some controversy. One of the players, a honeybee, was disqualified from Summit of Time for an altercation with another player. He apologized. There was some, it seems a little sparse on details as to exactly what happened, but he made an apology that on Twitter, said he was sorry. But ultimately, I guess something happened that caused him to get disqualified. Seems like it had something to do with this game of Mafia.
There he is walking off, and he flipped someone off on the way out too. So, interesting. I mean,
okay. So, do either of the two FGC representatives on the show have any idea what the fuck happened at Summit of Time? Who did he get in a beef with? Were there punches thrown? Was it really a fucking salty game of Mafia? That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard, if it's possible. And I really want that to be true. So, is anyone?
Wow, if it took a salty game of Mafia.
You know what it is? You could see right there in the slow motion that he actually gives the finger to somebody.
Yeah, he flipped someone.
So, I don't know if that was the...
Can we get chat? Can we get cross-counter chat? Please reach out to the Mortal Kombat community right fucking now, and someone's getting some goddamn answers, okay? We need some PogChamps, question marks, in the chat, and people reaching out. I should be doing that as someone who actually goes and does that type of thing. But no, I'm going to make chat do it. Chat, please go do stuff for us. That's how like the internet works nowadays. Every time I'm on live stream fails, all I see is chat doing shit for streamers and making shit more entertaining. So chat, fucking go fucking rile some people up. Go find out who fucking punched who or slapped each other. I want to know if we had like a slap fight or like a real who's bitch this is moment, or more like a Noel Brown like right at a cripple type of thing. I want to know like where in between all of those we are with this one to put it in. Because as we've been talking about, Ryan, we've been talking about people getting into fights, esports events being more real. Mm-hmm. And I always say how much I love the fighting community. In that way, really stepping up to represent. And I'm glad the first ever Mortal Kombat 11 tournament began this way. I think that's a good tone for the game, you know.
Yeah, with a two-time Evo finalist, no less. Supposed to be the best of the best of us.
I think it was that middle finger. It has to be. Because it doesn't actually... like, if you read his tweet... I made a mistake, broke the 7-on-time rules, got into an altercation with another player. It's my fault, and I take full responsibility. They disqualified me for my misconduct. You know what? I'm actually going to, now I'm curious. Now I want to see if the if maybe the Beyond the Summit site has
a statement.
That might some of the rules. Actually,
players should not get into fights with other players. Like,
that's not a fight.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the physical altercation. Oh wait,
I said it doesn't say physical altercation, and in that clip, all he's doing is giving the middle finger.
Right.
So let's see, summit series, blah blah blah. Our mission. You know what? There must be.
Okay, I just tweeted out. Someone fucking DM me what the fuck happened at Summit of Time, please. And who did he get an altercation with?
I'm looking up the
And like, you know, how what was the full extent of this altercation?
Yeah, like what
is
was
it a middle is it a middle just a literally a middle finger?
My money is on it was literally the middle finger.
Middle finger. That's not physical.
No, I don't think that's enough to get DQ'd off of an entire tournament.
That's not fucking a physical altercation.
Oh, they're saying that the... Wait, Darth Burrito is saying the reason they gave said the altercation was off stream. Well, if it was off stream, did it really happen?
Spoken like a true esports person.
Yeah.
I mean, well, nowadays...
Who knows? Honeybee, if you want to come on next week and explain your side of the story, then
Honeybee in chat?
Oh, no.
Or are you just speaking that into the ether?
Yeah, just speaking that into the ether.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can clip it and show him later.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it'll... maybe it was something else. Who knows? It's unfortunate, you know. Now I'm really curious as to what happened. But ultimately, it didn't really matter because Sonic Fox seems to have run away with the whole thing. So supposedly only dropping one game the entire time.
Yeah, no, I think it's fucking great. The first ever Mortal Kombat 11 tournament, you know, hot off of all the fucking other things that have been happening with Sonic Fox, including what we talked about on the show about him getting into it with the Prime Minister in the UK over trans issues and turf issues and getting suspended on Twitter and then coming back and posting another video. And, you know, that has been his off season. And this is the first major tournament for Mortal Kombat 11. And he fucking wins again in pretty much dominant fashion, ready to win a whole bunch more money this year. It really is impressive, just like how good he is.
100%.
One of a kind, that one.
I have a source in my messages right now.
Ooh.
A single source right now saying that the altercation was with Sonic Fox.
Is this a credible source?
This, I would say this is a credible source, which is why I'm reading it on the air right now.
Hmm.
Huh. So he got into an altercation with Sonic Fox. Wow, that was unexpected. Of all the people who were there, Sonic Fox was low on my list of suspects, if you know what I mean.
He does not know details of what happened in the altercation, but he says it with Sonic Fox. So that is breaking news here.
Wow.
What a revelation.
I I'll tell you what, Ryan. Did you know that, even though you give me shit for bringing up Overwatch on this show, that me talking about 222 last week was actually the most viewed clip for this fucking show I think that we've ever had, including Mike Ross Vietnam?
You talking about what?
So you don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. You don't even know what the fuck I'm even mentioning. I mentioned a little bit about how there would be 222 coming in Overwatch soon from my sources, and they're going to be testing it in Overwatch League. I mentioned this already on the show, Zareen. Ooh, you saying ooh. There was already a clip and a whole Reddit thread about this very thing that has happened.
Which I is vaguely why, recall.
Which is why, yeah, I know you don't remember what happens on our shows. So I was saying, I was bringing this up to describe that people actually care about my breaking news. So get to it.
Yes, they do, Rod.
Get to it, Reddit.
Yes, they do.
Go speculate. I do have an update on that Overwatch thing. We will talk about it later on.
Did you clip it yourself?
No. I am not a clip chimp. Twitch chat, that is all you. Fucking get on that. That is your janitor level job, Twitch chat.
Oh,
okay. Don't defend Twitch chat. They can fucking handle themselves. Twitch chat, part of what you have to do is use the tools available to yourself to like make it easier for us and better for us and also more entertaining. We are here to entertain you. You also need to get to work because that's what you're kind of here for. So fucking get those clips going, fucking, and make the titles really good. Get that shit going pronto. Thank you, Twitch chat, PogChamps and chat.
We're going to have viewers. By
I know. How could I? How could I ever forget all the things that you say on the show? It's almost as though I have trouble keeping track with all the things that you say. All right. Do we actually have a source on this magic thing?
I don't know who put it in.
I put it in there. It's like the official Pro League announcement.
Oh God!
We don't have to.
Okay.
All right.
Moving on then.
I want to know more about this.
I added it. I mean, we can talk about the cheating things. We didn't get to talk about it last week.
We can talk about it a little bit. I mean, magic is on the rise.
I fucking love some magic.
I did not think that you are a magic person at all.
Oh my God. That's crazy. In a parallel universe, your boy Gutex was actually a pro magic player. But my professional career was derailed in junior high when they banned Magic the Gathering at my school after kids kept taking each other's decks and then throwing them when they would lose.
That's the real thuggery in esports right there.
Great game, though. Fucking love me some magic.
So you were going to be the pro magic player. Mike was going to be the pro Dota player.
Yep. In a parallel universe, all that had to happen was Capcom just kept on going business as usual. No Street Fighter 4. And who knows? Could have been super pro.
If only they had released the state of Street Fighter V into Street Fighter 4, and you would have continued playing Magic.
You know, I actually think if these fucking kids at Monterey Highlands School in Southern California hadn't been such little fucking assholes, you know what? Because here's the thing, like, I think if that had not happened, I would have already been a pro Magic player and then just been a casual observer of Street Fighter. And then I would have been like, wow, I used to play Street Fighter back before I was a pro Magic player. Yeah. So I think it would have been more like that.
Damn. The multiverse expands.
So what happened?
Is this League like with the physical cards, or is this like the digital game that they've been kind of pushing?
The Magic Pro League is the physical card. The Magic Pro League is digital, is Arena. I believe it's Arena.
It chose so Wizards of the Coast chose the top 32 players based on official rankings and then paid each of them $75,000 to compete at tournaments and stream the game for fans.
That's actually a really crazy model. Like, you're going from the top.
So, basically, the news that happened was, as they are expanding the Magic Pro League, and they have a rather new boss over there at Wizards of the Coast running the Magic Esports events. I'm trying to find her name. Elaine Chase, who is the vice president of Esports. They made two major changes to the Magic Pro League, which were controversial. They invited two direct people based on a previous invitational tournament. So the reason they're getting invited now is because they were invited to a previous tournament and they did well while being invited to that tournament. And now they're invited to the main like pro league because of that tournament. The two players invited are a Hearthstone pro who is learning to play Magic and he's very good and he's sponsored and he's a huge player. And the other person is one of the best female players in Magic who also got invited. For some people, awesome. For a few number of other people, including like prominent people within the Magic community, these changes were not done consistently, and many people thought that both invites were unfair and that they did not deserve to be invited, and that the reasons for this happening were motivation based on a number of factors, you know, trying to get more women, you know, trying to add girls to the community or try to add popular streamers and Hearthstone players to the Magic pro community over two more deserving pros. One pro player even quit Magic and wrote a blog about how he's pissed off at Wizards of the Coast.
Wow, he was so angry that he quit Magic.
Yes, so today, pro Gary Thompson announced his exit from the league, citing concerns about contract negotiation and communication with Wizards of the Coast. Last year, he boycotted the World Championship in protest of Wizards' treatment of pro players, citing concerns about payment and transparency. So he is right. Like, the players have to negotiate directly with Wizards for the salary that they're paying them. And of course Wizards has all the control because there's no union or a way for the players to really collectivize themselves. So he's acted as a, you know, man of the people. So because of these two invites, he has now quit for real. And he wrote a blog about why he gave like 5 or 6 points about why he thought this. So this whole announcement has been controversial, and even though, because we didn't talk about it last week, part of it was spurred on because one player kicked out of the Magic Pro League was the player that was caught cheating, and he was banned for 30 months, so they had an extra spot open for Magic Pro League. So the guy that he got kicked out of the Hall of Fame, and he got banned for 30 months in the Magic Pro League.
How do you cheat in a card game, like a physical card game?
Marking the cards.
Oh, wow. They don't have, like, judges. Oh, wow. So, like, are there judges?
The mind is blown.
So, like, I would think that, because Magic is so big and it has, like, there's so much money in that
game,
right?
So is poker. So is poker. People
don't
do it, too.
I don't know. Aren't there judges to, like, oversee this? Like,
there's a whole movie. Go see Rounders and shit.
Wow, that's crazy. That's incredible. I thought Magic was like supposed to be like this pure, wholesome, competitive card game, I guess.
Anything that has money around it will have people trying to cheat to win. Literally everything ever, ever, ever. Still today and historically. If money, not even money, just the glory to win, people will always cheat and try to find a way.
Damn.
So what do you two think about it? I mean, yeah, there is more context about these invites, but do you think, based on what I've said, that the invites were warranted for what they're trying to do, or is it too much trying to push an agenda of, or trying to promote in an artificial way?
So how many spots are available in the Magic Pro League in total? You said 32, right?
I think there's 32.
So there's 30 other spots that go to pro players. I feel like having two additional, like, I guess more popular or, you know, publicity-driven invites, I almost want to say it's fine, and that if people are angry or if a player is angry that they didn't make it into the league in the first place, well then, maybe you're not good enough to be in the top 30. That's just
okay. Oh no, but here, I'll give you a question, Zoreen. What if Daigo didn't make Capcom Cup, but then he was invited? He was just invited in the end. because, you know, why would you, you can't not have Daigo for Capcom Cup, but he, let's say he doesn't make it through points. You don't think the entire fucking FGC would riot over that?
I mean, I don't even think Capcom Cup should have a seeded winner in the first place.
Well, whatever. Fine. Okay, fine. You can, your complaints of the fucking bracket aside.
Yeah, that one's that one's hard because, you know, it's Daigo. But on the second hand, if like he took that spot away from someone from the LCQ, for example, instead of giving that 30-second spot to someone who qualified through the LCQ, and we have yet to see someone who qualified through the LCQ go on to win the thing either. Like, oh man, I don't know, Ryan. What do you think? How do you? I'm like torn. I'm 50-50 on that one.
I'm not sure that your logic is holding up, Zorin, after Slasher made that comparison. Because on one hand, you're saying that, you know, maybe this is okay in Magic because, you know, it's not just, you know, because these players have high profiles or whatever. But on the other hand, you're saying, oh, well, if the situation was FGC, I don't know if Daigo should be in there. That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm leaning more towards that he should be, actually.
Like, so you'd rather get rid of the LCQ and just invite the most popular player who didn't make Capcom Cup in the end? So if Takedo or Daigo or Justin Wong doesn't make it, let's just fucking bring them in.
Yeah, but like,
you know, we need more viewership in the end anyway.
Well, no, but you know that that player that you're bringing in is skilled, right? Like, it's not like you're throwing a spot away just for exposure or for publicity or something. It's still a skilled player. And at the end of the day, like, I'm imagining, I think someone mentioned in chat that, like, you know, the woman who was invited to the MPL, she actually won.
She's good.
Like,
she won a Grand Prix. She won a Grand Prix. She's a solid player. I'm not saying she's not a bad player. And Savs, who's the Hearthstone player, he made the final of the Magic Arena champion, the $1 million championship that they had. He made the final. He's also really good.
Well, that's totally fine. And they are just as qualified to be in the MPL as any other pro player.
Okay. Well, you know what? Second example. You know how in StarCraft, historic StarCraft II championship of all time is the GSL. How many players do they have in that, Zorin?
It's been a while. Is it like 16?
No, 32.
Oh, my bad.
The exact same number of players. You know how they all get into there? The most brutal qualifying rounds, maybe in the history of esports. And if you think that if what happened if they had 31 players and then they invited, like, you know, back then Flash or Nada or Boxer or Jadong because they wanted StarCraft viewership to be up, all of Korea would fucking go insane. So I hear what Magic is trying to do. I think for the format that they're going for, 32 players, the best players in the world, we've seen it in other 1v1 games, you can't invite two people. No. I don't give a shit, actually, who they are. I'd say if it was another Magic Hall of Famer, you can't invite him either.
Wait, so are the other 30 people also invited? Is the whole thing's an invitational, or...?
It looks like what they did was when they set out to launch the Magic Pro League in late 2018, they just took the top 32 ranked players that had points from their circuit. But then because a couple of these players...
Yeah, one got, you know, banned for cheating.
Yeah, so look, in the article, it says two of the players in the top 32 did not join the league and were replaced with other players from the top 40. So first they did that, right? So they already sort of set a precedent for filling the spots with other players that were ranked, right? Mm-hmm. And then I guess after two more players were removed or whatever, then that's when they decided to not just continue pulling, let's say, players 35 and 34 and 35 or whatever. Then they went to get these other players to seemingly push a specific agenda. So from a purely competitive standpoint, the issue is that if they would have just set aside two spots from the top 32 to be like special invites from the get-go, I think that would have been one thing. But then to replace the players with handpicked, with essentially like handpicked players, I think is really what pissed everybody off. Mm-hmm. So I think that inconsistency is what did the damage in this instance.
Yeah, I mean, that context is important to know. And I wonder how far down the list those two players were, like if they weren't in the initial 32.
Yeah. They're in contested. They're definitely, you know, in the conversation.
No. Look at it. It's saying that Stefan won 2018's Magic Grand Prix, 2017, 2018, Burchett was ranked 134, Stefan was 520, and Mick Conan did not have a ranking. So that tells me that they were all pretty far down the list, and it's not as though there were, from 30 to 134, it's not as though that there were 100 players that just decided to say, you know what, 75 grand? Fucking let me know when there's real money on the table, Wizards of the Coast. Go fuck yourself. Somehow, I don't think 100 players told Wizards of the Coast that.
Therefore, I'm gonna go with Mr. Gutex here.
Yeah.
Also not buying that shit.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that this in lots of ways kind of compromises the integrity a little bit of the whole thing, which is fine if you just say from the get-go, hey, this is how the spots are going to be divvied up. But to change it after already setting precedent for how you're going to replace players with ones that were, you know, just one notch further down the ranking seems like a recipe for disaster. But, I mean, you know, that's the world we live in.
And hey, if it all goes according to the skill levels, then they will probably get their asses whooped in the first round anyway, right?
Making their spots a waste that could have gone to more deserving and ranked players.
That's true. I mean, I think the context, learning the context of that was important, and I am inclined to agree then. Especially if they're so far down the list and one was unranked, that's kind of not cool.
Yeah, I think that they probably could have avoided this by just getting those players that were next down the ladder for this season, and then making adjustments in between the end of the season and before the following season. That might have solved the problem. I mean, you know, when you look at like Capcom Pro Tour, these guys are sort of making adjustments to the rule set. You know, mostly minor adjustments, but they adjust the Pro Tour every year, and I don't believe that there is any instances of them like changing the rules on the, you know, sort of like partway through the season. So unfortunate turn of events here. Good thing I'm not a good thing. Those junior high kids at Monterey Highlands School were such assholes. So I don't have to worry about this.
See, what would have happened was if you had gone into playing Magic, you would have been the person chosen to be invited.
Right. Then I would be like, yeah, sorry guys, sucks to suck. Sorry that you're sorry that I was just, you know, Wizards of the Coast, just, you know, it wouldn't be Magic Pro League without Gutex, you know. Sorry guys.
And you can put out your resignation blog post and then make the switch to Street Fighter. Yes. Enter this game called Street Fighter.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Magic was fun, guys, but it's time to go pursue my true calling, fighting games. Yeah.
Should have went to Magic.
Yeah. Well, hey, 75 grand. But hey, you know what? Thing is, even being in top 32 wasn't good enough. All right. Let's see. Moving on. there was why are we talking about old people mad on Facebook about the world's number one esports consultant Slasher reports on big news. All right, everybody hold on to your seats. I hope you're sitting down for this one. Take a drink, swallow your water, because you'll never believe this. People on Facebook, normies, are mad that video games are on TV. I love how you also assume that they're Facebook boomers.
Have you read this post? Okay, I just want to say that this was supposed to be at the end of the show, by the way. This, I wanted this to be near the
I don't know why you
Twitch blow up of the week. I'm sorry I didn't put it firm enough down. But this is, I mean, I've been doing this as a running series now because there's people upset about video games being on TV every single time. And I really do enjoy it. I really do enjoy people getting so upset about video games and esports being on TV. It does make me happy. It really does.
Okay, sure. Yeah, hold on.
Back in the same.
Where?
It's the second. The second one.
Okay, yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. The first one doesn't even have a supposed, an alleged Facebook boomer icon next to it. So it's impossible to even
research. No. I did some research on the account, and that account is fucking crazy.
Okay. Of course, a crazy person would say all these things. All right. Whatever.
It's not a troll. It's 100% real.
That's important.
Because now that it's real, it could be a copypasta. That's a requirement. You can't copypasta a fake troll. If you copypasta a fake troll, you're a fucking noob.
Is the back in the 70s one is not really an angry post. It's more like a.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. Well, allow me to narrate some of what. Allegedly being said by Rod's Facebook friends.
I took it from friends and family.
I mean, that's the only way you can see it.
Yeah, Rod, clearly you are pretty well connected with a lot of these people, Rod. I think you got some explaining to do, bruh. All right, here we go. Back in the 70s, when them Caldwells brought the video game Pong to Mama's Chambers house, I'd never have figured in 2019 I'd be eating a can of Beanie Weenies watching a video game tournament on ABC, LOL.
Wow, they knew how to say it. Like, they knew what LOL was, though. That's, like, pretty advanced.
I gotta say, fucking Beanie Weenies... That's a fucking classic. That guy deserves some props for that shit. Two, thank you, Ryan. That was an insane
round of applause. PogChamps in the chat.
PogChamps in the chat. Holy shit. I think you should start doing GTA 5 roleplay.
Thank you. I turn on the TV to find this show for people to watch pro gamers play called Overwatch League. Really? People have nothing... Okay, actually, she looks a little Southern. People have nothing better to do than watch Gamer's Game. Well, I never. My sensitive Southern sensibilities are so offended by this Overwatch League. Overwatch League. This is a video game show that is aired on ABC. I can't believe people watching this for an hour. One question, are video game leagues going to be our kids' sports?
Yes. Yes, they are. Accepted now.
Now I'm looking for, can someone in Twitch chat link the best voice distortion app? I think, because Ryan, I don't know if you have one, but if you do.
Oh, sorry. I had it enabled for a second, but I turned it off. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so you need no voice to spell. Yeah, I see. But you need one for the first message.
For the first one?
Yeah, you need to talk like if you're Satan. So if you have a voice distortion method.
No, it should be one of those text-to-speech like readouts with the robot voice. Like, couldn't believe what I just saw. Turned on ABC.
Okay.
I feel like text-to-speech would work very well here.
I was really hoping you would have like the.
I might have something installed. Hold on.
Oh God.
Wait, no, hold on.
That's open required.
Open the sound. Record. Enable. Ah, no, this is too hard to do right now. Oh wait. Right? Yep. Yeah. Voice mod MIDI. No. Ah, whatever. Next time.
I'm the most evil one on the show anyway. If there's anyone that should read this fucking message, it would be me.
Oh my God. All right, get ready for the Satan voice, everyone.
Couldn't believe what I just saw. Turned on ABC. Looking, this is like my Sin City voice, right? Like, couldn't believe what I just saw. Turned on ABC, looking for the NBA game. And instead, they're showing some madness called Overwatch League, which consists of teams of pre-teen geeks on computers playing some type of war game where they're doing nothing but shooting and killing each other with big black, machine guns. Big and they wonder why.
They're so soft in my hand.
They wonder why there is a mass shooting every other day in America at a school, a mall, a church, a movie theater, etc. This is on a Sunday afternoon on network television for children of any age to see. Shame on you, Disney, you demonic, hypocritical greed mongers, for exploiting kids with this violent foolishness. Then, when one of these 13-year-old computer war game nerds comes back to blast on your TV station because they didn't win, you'll be having vigils, prayer services, and town hall meetings asking, why did this happen? The fuck out of here.
Oh, is that what FOH stands for?
Well, you know, I'm glad that's what you learned. We had to learn one thing for that entire paragraph. That was it, Zuri. So you found the silver lining there. I'm proud of you. I have two comments about this message. Well, actually three. One, Ryan, that was beautiful. Thank you. Can we get PogChamps in the chat for Ryan's?
The world's number zero esports consultant, also available for voiceovers and impressions.
I am. I don't know about you. So great job. Great job.
That's me. World's number zero. That's me. You're number one. I'm number zero. I'm available for impressions and voiceovers.
Yeah. What do you do?
I
Southern accents.
Yeah, like I voice very intelligent people on the internet.
Okay. Well, there's no shortage of that.
It's my specialty.
So you specialize in shitposting?
No. I just
that's basically I what don't, you just said.
Look, I'm an act. Look, I am a trained actor slasher. Okay. I don't write the movies. I don't write the scripts. They give them to me. Oh, sorry. My agent fields them, sorts through them, puts out the deals, and then gives them to me. And then I'm just reading the lines, bro. I don't write this stuff. If I wrote it, it'd be a lot better.
Gutek's the writer.
First off, I'm not a writer, Rod. But even I got books on Amazon Kindle, bro.
He's right. Point.
Yeah, this is. So we're just going to ignore all of that this is happening. Two things I have to say about this message is, those boomers, they don't know that Overwatch isn't a violent game for kids. It's the game that you jerk off to. Those stupid boomers have it confused, and they got to learn. Okay, no one's playing Overwatch to be violent. They're all, you know, jerking their meat to Mercy and Widowmaker and Tracer all day. And number two is, it's cute that they're talking about like all the machine guns in the game when we haven't seen a gun in the meta for the last what feels like 2 years now. Overwatch would be better if any type of fucking gun would be in part of the reason you'd play this first-person shooter. Probably would help the game. So if only these boomers knew what was actually happening. But it's a good try. It was a really solid effort. I give it a 7 out of 10. It was better than the intro.
I don't know what to say other than every time esports events are aired on mainstream television broadcasts, the same thing happens, and it keeps on happening year after year. We saw it with Heroes of the Dawn when it aired on ESPN2. We're seeing it with Overwatch League again and again. And we saw it when Evo was actually aired on Disney XD as well. That one was entertaining. So it's just hilarious. And but it also, I think, you know, at what point is it going to be accepted enough where, people would flip to a channel and there would be, esports leagues playing, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is, that thing that, you know, I know someone who watches these, or I know, what this is about, and doesn't bat an eyelid.
By the time that happens, nobody will be watching these channels anyways, because the entire esports TV debate is something where the opportunity came and went long time ago. At this point, the continued insistence that in order to achieve mainstream or legitimacy or whatever, that it has to be on TV. I mean, here we go. It's on TV. And you know what? It doesn't matter, because none of the people that this is actually for are sitting there trying to watch ABC to get their Overwatch League. It just seems like a non-issue at this point, but it just goes to show how much TV networks are struggling to figure out what the fuck they need to do to recover this audience that's literally never coming back to TV ever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a big part of it is to try to attract all of the cord cutters. But at the same time, you have every major network kind of creating their own fucking streaming service now. It's actually, this is a total side topic, but I think that, you know, one of the reasons that piracy in general went down so much is because of services like Netflix and Hulu that came out that had everything on one platform. And now that everyone is building their own platforms, we're going to see piracy go back up, because no one wants to pay for 9% different streaming services with limited amount of content. It's the same exact problem, but now the reverse.
100%. I wish I had that meme handy that it illustrates just such a point. But yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I can see this.
Oh, Slasher, get it. Shilsher getting a message from the esports deep state. Encouraging people, telling him to encourage people to stop cord cutting. Yeah, I see you. I see you. I can read... I can see the letters on the reflection on your face.
You know, the big ISPs are my clients, so I gotta...
Makes sense. It all comes together.
Protect the revenue stream. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. It seems... you know, the reality is that there's probably nothing that's really going to make esports and gaming sort of acceptable to a certain percentage of the population. The only thing that's going to change is just time, as more and more people just grow up and become fully functioning adults, despite having an upbringing full of gaming. So all the people that would take the time to write a multi-paragraph Facebook post expressing their displeasure about video games on their TV just basically die off.
I will say that there are two things to reply to your point. Of course, internet streaming and live streaming on the internet and the technology behind that has taken off in such a way, especially because there's no geological restriction and it's an international type of movement, and that will only continue, and that'll be the thing to move esports forward, and that's the reason Twitch is worth $1 billion and yada yada. That is true. At the same time, I feel like every time I do these posts on a weekly basis and I round up all the crazy shit people were talking about, I do end up seeing two different things, which I probably should highlight more, is one, people that are already fans of Overwatch League that generally do watch on Twitch end up actually sometimes even more so watching on ABC and the ESPN app specifically to support the game and to support the community. And some of them even find the actual experience better than Twitch in terms of the actual player. So that is...
You know, that actually makes a lot of sense, because sometimes when I try to get Twitch to play on, like, our smart TV here, it's actually, like, kind of problematic. So I can see why some people would actually, like, make the switch over to other viewing services.
And the second thing I would say is that I still see people who didn't know Overwatch was a thing, and then actually were getting into it while watching it. Like, they weren't one of the people shitting on it and saying, what is this nerd shit? They're one of the people that, like, knows video games or had played a Blizzard game or, you know, something, and they turned on ABC and they watched it. So I still think that TV validation is a necessary next step for esports in America, especially considering how much money is still in TV advertising, and that it generally still pays better than internet advertising, which is a fickle market, which is still yet to fully flesh out. And at the same time, the technology of television is still the thing, like, powering every bar in across America. Generally, it's not internet connected TVs. Yeah, that's changing more and more with technology that's going towards more that route, but a lot of it is still linear TV, and an entire market of America and the world is still linear TV. And I do think it's still something esports needs to be aggressive doing.
100%. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything esports related, and you know, when you have this stuff on TV, it just makes all these other people look like idiots. And you are totally right on saying that the vast majority of bars out there are just showing, you know, whatever's on TV, and they don't have their Chromecasts and Fire Sticks connected to the TVs. Probably largely due to the fact that, at least in so many parts of North America, trying to get fast internet at a business is way different than getting fast internet at a residential place. So, and I also certainly have heard plenty of times of people talking about how they saw Evo Top 8 on ESPN because they were at a bar and they didn't know it was happening. Totally true and totally valid. And that, I think, is partly... I think that is sort of the best argument for why it's even kind of important. But I also don't think it's that important, because if we truly believe that Twitch and YouTube and Facebook gaming are, you know, valuable platforms when it comes to streaming, it's like the whatever sort of money that these networks can bring to the esports table, so to speak, for the Overwatch leagues of the world, that amount is going to shrink substantially as more money transitions from traditional advertising on TV, cable, and radio, and that transitions to, you know, internet advertising, where, yes, it is less expensive, but part of the reason for that is because so many of these advertising dollars are currently on, you know, mainstream media channels, not on the internet yet. But the reality is that there's going to be more and more people that expect, more and more advertisers that expect the things, the sort of metrics that you can get from advertising on the internet that you just simply cannot get from advertising on traditional mainstream media. Because the Nielsen ratings are just estimates, you know, we don't get like the concrete data that you would get from.
but you say that, but like the Nielsen ratings in esports are the best things that we have so far. The Nielsen ratings in TV are the best ratings we have of any data providing. It, like, even how bad TV ratings are, esports ratings are 100 times worse because it is the way that, like, the different leagues and the way the developers are calculating the viewership, I think, is more misleading than what Nielsen has done.
You mean like taking the Twitch numbers and sort of manipulating the data to, you know, convey a certain viewpoint?
Yeah, I mean, you can like add up certain people, like double up on certain views and count them more than once, or you can do, you know, if one number isn't as good, you use another, whether it's concurrent viewership or total unique viewership or hours watched or average time watched or like all the different fucking things that are happening. So I would say even that Nielsen streamlining TV was a good thing for television, even if it is fucked up and even if it is not perfect. I think it's actually way better than what we've had so far in esports.
Well, my point was less about the accuracy and more about what sort of metrics an advertiser can expect to glean from advertising on the internet versus advertising on like terrestrial broadcast.
Extraterrestrial.
The opposite of extraterrestrial. Regular terrestrial. Anyways, you're not getting all this data when you're advertising on TV. You're just not. Maybe you get your Nielsen number and that's it. So my point is that more and more advertisers are going to be shifting money that they spend on TV, radio, and move it to internet. And part of the reason why the TV system exists as it does right now is just simply because it's gotten super bloated compared to the value that it's actually generating for advertisers. So,
I mean, that's going to continue happening. You know, advertising,
for sure.
The online internet advertising will continue to go up each year. It's just that, like, you know, one of the big reasons why it hasn't is because sports is like the industry propping up the entire television industry, because the media rights for sports are like hundreds of millions of dollars. It is the most watched thing in the world in terms of live viewership. It's just like the NFL or the NBA or the Premier League or like the Champions League. Those are the most watched things in the entire world for live television. And it's because those are the things propping up TV. Those things also make the advertising still more expensive than worth more money than the internet. Even though more money is being given to internet from television, television is still doing better than internet in a lot of ways because of sports, live sports.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts, because internet's coming here to take your advertising dollars.
Internet.
All right, let's see. Do we want to talk about this ghost gaming thing, or do we want to just get to Twitch? All right.
No, it's time. We have two Twitch blow ups of the week.
Twitch blow up of the week.
We have two.
All right. The first Twitch blow up of the week. I actually haven't seen this. So I'll be interested.
Wait, which one are we talking about first? This is important.
I think it's the one that Lewis has queued up.
Okay.
All right. Already. Kid farts on stream, pretends it wasn't him. Oh my God. Can I hear it in the headphones or do I have to play it myself? Hold on. I'll probably just play it myself. All right. Yeah, go ahead. All right, go for it.
What was that? Those chairs.
Poor kid, now immortalized on the internet. Wow. Embarrassing moment. It's very cute.
I was just watching it over and over.
To be fair to that kid's credit, I've had chairs that sound like that.
Yeah, of course, everyone has, but that was very clearly chairs. Not the chair.
That sounds exactly like that. So maybe we should just believe him. Maybe we should believe him.
All right, let's believe him.
Okay, look, you wanted to believe the kid in The Sixth Sense, too. I mean, look how far that got him. But, you know, I'm really meant to feel like this kid is telling the truth from what he saw.
I don't know. I feel like he kind of, like, he had that, like, that the reaction was too quick, you know? Like, what was that? Like, it was too quick. A little bit too quick. But you know what? Let's support this kid. Sure. It was the chair.
It was the chair.
What a blow up. All right. And the other blow up, maybe it was a... a blow in? I don't know. There apparently was some porn being streamed on Twitch over recently.
So how did you discover this? We need context.
Look, you know, I always find all the streams early.
Right,
on.
You're the guy who sorts by
just browse the
smallest number of viewers and then supports the small local indie streamer.
I always support your small local indie streamers, namely Game of Thrones, the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs, the Oscars, the Academy Awards, the World Series, the Stanley Cup Finals. Logan Paul and KSI. I've supported the true grassroots community on Twitch over just about all events. So, you know, having Celestia Vega, a star in her own right, to appear in such a way on Twitch, I felt like I needed to get in on that early, in all of her glory. And I gotta say, me and 5,000 other dudes just doing what dudes do on Twitch in the just chatting section, it seemed like a whole another just normal day of Twitch just chatting. I didn't see a difference. It was, by the way, streamed in the porn category.
There's a category on Twitch?
If you didn't know, that is there. Or maybe the title, the title was just porn or porno.
Yeah, what was the actual category that it was streamed on?
Actually, it's a good question. I think sex, maybe?
Chatting?
It wasn't just chatting? Okay. Well, that's perfect, right? I mean, that already fits the theme. Stream was shut down shortly after. That's my bad. I'm a fucking snitch.
Wow, snitches get stitches, Rod. Jesus.
I will make sure to delete the username when I do that.
I'm kind of surprised another one didn't just pop up, like, in its place, you know, and, like...
Oh, it did. Really? Sorry, I didn't get to that part, but yeah, another stream popped up, like, a few minutes after.
Like the heads of a hydra. Chop off one and another two appear.
I know.
Yeah, well, it was male gay porn, so there were actually a whole bunch more heads that you were looking for. I'm all about equality, so I think that there should be just as much straight and gay porn and lesbian porn, you know, everything on Twitch, all genres, all everything.
So what you're saying is that right now Twitch is essentially being terrorized by porn distributor streamers.
Yeah. Yeah, just absolutely terrorized. Just,
I mean, I'm browsing the just chatting section now, and while there are a few suspect looking streams, I've yet to see anything that's outright pornographic in nature, but I wonder how Twitch is handling this problem. Like, are they assigning someone to, you know, be actively looking on just chatting and manually, you know, getting rid of this content? Like, how?
I mean, yeah, that's how everything on this platform works. I mean, I set up that in the entire bit as like kind of a joke, but I literally have watched every single one of the things that I've mentioned on Twitch, and that is because not only can their automatic algorithm bots not catch everything, but explicitly, the more they take down, that is showing that they are policing content. There's a reason why everyone watched the KSI Logan Paul stream on Twitch. I mean, one is because they had an exclusive deal with YouTube and they weren't exactly keen on helping YouTube and they didn't give a shit. But the other part of it is the more they take down certain streams, the more that they have shown responsibility once they take it down. So they usually wait till people are reporting things, and then after they had been let know, then they have a responsibility to take it down instead of them just going in. Now, the more that I've like exposed Twitch and other people have shown that the hypocrisy of Twitch, Twitch has increasingly gotten better or tried to get better at taking down actual things that shouldn't be on their fucking platform. Like, I've also seen every McGregor fight on Twitch too, which the UFC charges $60 for, and I thought that was really funny.
That one in particular, I just need to like quickly say, like, I appreciate that some of these restreamers are actually getting in there with an overlay, like showing the UFC fights and holding a controller and pretending it's a game, but really they're just restreaming UFC for the people. And I'm like, damn, like, I know this is illegal, but I appreciate that you're taking one for the people, you know? Like,
there are videos of dudes faking playing UFC and faking playing Madden.
And, yeah, Madden.
Yeah. I think, and they're very funny. They're very funny. See, Twitch is always on top of the meta in terms of piracy. Like, there is literally no better live streaming search on the internet. And that is why Twitch currently has the best platform to pirate anything online.
So aside from the fact that it's going to get shut down once Slasher gets a hold of it, once Slasher blasts it out. Okay, you know, trust a guy to be the lookout, and then he's the one actually calling the cops on the heist.
That's the real shill.
Well, I mean, look, I'm looking around and all these dudes are blasting it out. I feel like I gotta stop some of that.
Well,
okay. All right, you know.
Wow. Well, I, for one, await the day that there will either be a some sort of ID verified adult section on Twitch so that so that all of these cam girls can reach their final form of being cam girl, gamer cam girls. And that
Ryan, you better be careful there.
What?
That certain terminology is frowned upon.
What would you call? Okay, I'm sorry. What would you call?
We respect women on the Untitled Esports Show.
Okay.
Mr. Ryan Gutierrez.
What would you call a young lady that solicits donations and gets naked over a webcam on a site like MyFreeCams? What would you call somebody who does that, that also plays games?
There's only one answer. Oh. Lady.
All right. Well, I'm anxiously awaiting the day that the lady category, the age verified lady category, becomes a thing on Twitch.
Is it not m'lady? I was told that's...
You forgot the... Fedora tip that goes along with it.
Yeah, exactly. Cave 3D God says cam lady. Yeah, you're right. All right. Yeah, cam lady girl, gamer cam gamer lady.
I don't even think there is a specific terminology that you could apply to that.
That's why I stand by gamer cam girl.
Okay.
I mean, Ryan, gamer girl.
I need.
No, stop.
All I said was I was waiting for the age verified section to come, because what's the alternative? Oh, Twitch charging a licensing fee to broadcast. That's going to be a good one.
Oh, I don't think Twitch would ever make a foray into that sort of like direction.
Though. All that needs to happen is more heads of this Hydra need to be cut off. Slasher needs to rat on more adult film distributors on Twitch, and then more of them will pop up, and then it'll start to become such an issue because people will start streaming porn, and then they'll be streaming the UFC fights, and then, you know, Big Daddy Bezos is going to come down from that Amazon ivory tower and be like, look, motherfuckers, there have to be some sort of requirements, so you're going to need to pay a licensing fee or pass some sort of streamer test in the same way that you have to pay a licensing fee to the state in order to drive a car in America. Okay. So really, I'm just looking out for the Twitch economy here.
I don't think, knowing America's aversion to associating with anything that's like sex related or sexual, like that they would never touch it.
That's why I'm saying that the only realistic solution is for them to start charging a licensing fee to broadcast in the same way that the mainstream media broadcasters, the ABCs, NBCs of the world, have to pay a licensing fee to the FCC in order to broadcast on television. Yeah. So congratulations, Rod. You're cleaning up the internet airwaves for everybody. I hope you have. And hopefully XSplit can help us pay for our future Twitch broadcasting license, because we're going to need one. Thanks to you, Rod.
No problem. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Glad to be of help.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Unintended consequences of being a snitch. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I believe that wraps it up for this week's episode of the Untitled Esports Show. Want to give a quick thank you and shout out to XSplit for powering this broadcast, making it so that we can focus on creating really interesting content and collecting really great news articles like the ones that Rod submitted this week.
And we're also now available as a podcast, finally. So if you want to listen to this show or past episodes, you can listen to it on, I believe, iTunes
and Spotify. Look it up. Or you can go to anchor.fm/untitledesportsshow, and that'll link directly. And then you don't have to tune in anymore. You can just listen on demand whenever you want, so that me, Zorin, and Slasher can just live in your ears all the time. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah, we're just like a little spider crawling inside you while you sleep.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Just the thing that you fear every single night before you go to bed, Twitch chat.
Poisoning, you know, the well of your thoughts.
You know how when you see a spider in your house and you want to burn your entire house down? Now, just picture that, but one inside of your ear, and you don't know how you can get it out, and it will drive you insane. That is what we want to do here to all of our fans here on the Untitled Esports Show. Thank you all for coming out, and leave with those thoughts to give you a good night from myself.
Never do so marketing.
Bad. So bad. Stay in your lane, Slasher.
Zorin, I'm just doing my part. I'm doing my part. You guys are welcome. I love to do the show with you too. Thank you a lot. You guys are welcome.
Zorin, where do people go for more Zorin between now and next week?
Hit me up on Twitter @Zorin. That's @ZORINE. I'm also on the Instagram and on Twitch as Team Zorin, and on YouTube. Yeah.
You can follow the world's number one esports consultant, get the heads up on all of your favorite illicit Twitch streams by following Slasher @Slasher on Twitter.
I love titties.
If you want more good old Gutex, then you can follow me on Twitter. Yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Gutex. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Shout outs to XSplit for powering this episode of the Untitled Esports Show. We will see you guys. We'll be back next week with more from the wacky world of esports and more Twitch blowups. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye.
Thank you.